أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته And welcome back to this session that we have been going over chapter number 69 Surah Al-Haqqa Today being our third session of five for this blessed month of Ramadan for 2020 We continue in where we had left off in our previous discussion And today we want to look at this topic of the issues relating to the outcome of the disbelieving nations of the past, and also the warning to all of those who disbelieve. In our previous two sessions, we reviewed the first portion, and now that that has completed, we can move on to the second area of discussion, and to see what it is that Allah tells us about the end of this world. Now keep in mind, obviously, that there is a lot to be said about this topic. There are, obviously, as we had mentioned in our first session, that almost 30%, that is about a third of the Quran, is about the end of this world, the day of judgment, the day of resurrection. And so obviously what we're mentioning in this one chapter of the Quran is just a brief expose, a brief glimpse into what Allah has spoken about within the entire chapters of the Quran and the entire Quran on a whole, actually. And so let us actually just first of all review the topics that we would be going over for today. We want to look at verses number 13 through to number 37. And the overall theme is the impact of the belief in the resurrection on the life of the human beings in the afterlife. So obviously, believing in Yawmul Qiyamah, believing in the Day of Judgment, has its own impact on our lives today and how we again interact with those around us, with our family, our friends, our community, the overall society, how we picture Allah and how we interact with Allah. But this belief also plays a huge role, obviously, on the world to come. And as we know that heaven and hell, they are perpetual, they are forever. They last for, you know, obviously time, you know, there probably is no limit of that time compared to the life of this world, which is limited. It is a finite resource. And so we want to look at the overall theme and look at four different subcategories or subtopics. The first topic we want to look at is the rise of the day of resurrection after the collapse of the current order of the world that we live in currently. We'll then go to look at the presence of the people before Allah, how we will all be brought back in front of Allah. We'll then switch to the topic of the afterlife, the rewards for the believers in the resurrection. And the last and concluding portion for our discussion for this third session of the Tafsir of Surah Al-Haqqa would be the afterlife punishments for people who deny the resurrection, who mock the prophets, who don't believe in Allah. And that will obviously round up and conclude this portion of our discussion for today. Now, as I said, that there is a lot in the Quran, one third of the Quran, about the Day of Resurrection. And so for those who are interested in learning more about Yawm al-Qiyamah, about the resurrection, we would advise you to pick up this book, which is the commentary, the exegesis of the Noble Quran. But this focuses specifically on the 29th Juz, the 29th Sipara of the Quran. And the reason why we mention this book is because it contains the commentary of Surah al-Qiyamah, the chapter about the Day of Resurrection. And this will obviously give us a better picture of the Yawm al-Qiyamah as Allah has explained it within that one chapter of the Quran, which is again named after that day, which will inevitably come and which everybody will be held to account for on that day. Going to the verses which we want to review today for this first portion of the three segments is verses number 13 through to 17. Allah says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, فَإِذَا نُفِخَ فِي السُّورِ نَفْخَةٌ وَاحِدًا And when the trumpet is blown with a single blast, وَحُمِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ وَالْجِبَالُ فَدُكَّتَ دَكَّةً وَاحِدًا And the earth and the mountains are borne away, they're destroyed, and they're crushed with a single crushing. فَيَوْمَئِذٍ وَقَعَتِ الْوَاقِعَةُ On that day will the great event come to pass. وَانْشَقَّتِ السَّمَاءُ فَهِيَ يَوْمَئِذٍ وَاحِيَةٌ And the heaven, the skies, the universe that we see above us, the planets, the stars, all of those celestial bodies, they will cleave asunder. So on that day it shall be frail. وَالْمَلَكُ عَلَىٰ أَرْجَائِهَا وَيَحْمِلُ عَرْشَ رَبِّكَ فَوْقَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ ثَمَانِيَةٌ and the angels shall be on the sides thereof, and above them 8 shall bear your Lord's throne on that day. Now, there are a lot of things that are contained within this portion of verses from verse number 13 to 17. We're just, again, as we have been mentioning in the initial series, that we just want to go an overview over these. I don't want to go into too much detail. Again, we will have to leave that up to the viewers to do your own homework, your own reading of the Day of Judgment, and to come up with a much more comprehensive and complete picture. But some of the actions which will be a precursor to the end of this world, because just as this world was created by Allah, mountains were put there, the oceans are there, the forests are there, a day will come when all of this will actually be destroyed. And this is one portion of what we see in this particular passage. Allah first speaks about the blowing of the trumpet for the first time. And this basically would result in the death of everything and everyone on the earth, and everything to be destroyed. The earth will be destroyed itself. The mountains which are on this, as the Quran tells us in other passages, the mountains will become like carded wool, like dust, the colored dust, dirt, because they'll be completely pulverized. Obviously, other planets which exist in the solar system, the stars, all of this will actually come to a complete end. Animals that were on the earth will obviously no longer exist. The jinn obviously will also not be, they will not have a life at that point. And actually a point will come in this winding down of this life in which even the angels will also have to lose their quote-unquote lives. And obviously, as we know, everything in existence will be gone. And only thing that will remain at that particular time before the actual resurrection begins is Allah. And obviously then there is a process, as we have alluded to in the previous verses, of the recreation of the human being will be brought back to life in a particular form, in a particular, a new body, we can say. And that body will be based on, obviously, our earthly existence. As for, what age we would be brought back into, would we be brought back in a healthy state? And, let's say we had an arm amputated, or we had some, physical defects. Obviously, those issues, people may be wondering, well, how will we be brought back up at age 15, at age 20, at age 40, when? Again, we don't want to go into all of those specifics in our discussion today, but they are available answers to those and many other questions of the resurrection and how we will be brought back, in what form, what shape, what age. Those have been covered by many of our scholars in their works. So after that destruction has taken place, after everything has come to an end, the animals, the jinn, human being, the angels, everything has had the end of their, life. Their life has been taken away from them. Then obviously, as we mentioned, comes the resurrection. So that's where we come back to life. That's where we are given that second existence. And this is that point where we want to look at verses number 18 to 24. And this gives us a glimpse of those people who have had their hisab, had their accountability done with Allah. So obviously, from that last portion up to verse 17, where the world has ended and everything has come to an end, and annihilation of everything, to verse 18, there is a gap, right? Because, as I said, we have to come back to life. We will stand in front of Allah. We will account for our actions. We'll get rewarded for the good. We would have a punishment, or at least the accounts would be settled on that day. We would have the possibility, if Allah permits, to have the intercession of the prophets, of the imams, of the ulama, of the shuhada, of the others who are also permitted to intercede on that day. So this shift that Allah has presented here from the end of the world to going to heaven, or as we see in the next portion, going to hell, we have to understand that there is a gap here of however much time it takes, however much time we'll have to stand in the presence of Allah, where all of these other actions will have to be done. The judgment, our book of actions will be presented to us, and so on and so forth, until finally the end comes and people are actually put into those groups of going towards paradise for perpetuity, forever. Or those who are going to hell, some will go to hell for a short period of time, some will be in hell forever, as we know. But that gap is not mentioned in this particular chapter. And that's why, again, I reiterate the point that we need to go to other chapters of the Quran to see what happens in that gap. What kind of a form of questioning will occur? What are the questions that we will be asked? What level of preciseness will there be in that accountability that Allah has in place? Again, that will be something that we have to review on our own to get to that understanding of this gap that is between verse 17 and 18. So coming to verse number 18, Allah says, يَوْمَ إِذِن تُعْرَضُونَ لَا تَخْفَى مِنْكُمْ خَافِئَةً. On that day, you will be exposed to view. No secret of yours will remain hidden. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَيَكُولُ هَا أُمُكْرَأُ كِتَابِيَ. Then as for him or her who is given their book in the right hand, they would say, Lo, read my book. إِنِّي ذَنَنْتُ أَنِّي مُلَاقٍ حِسَابِيَ. Surely I knew that I shall meet my account. I would meet that day of accountability with Allah. فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَ. So that person would be in a life of pleasure. فِي جَنَّةٍ عَالِيَ. In lofty gardens. قُتُوفُهَا دَانِيَ. The fruits of which are near at hand. كُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا هَنِيئًا بِمَا أَسْلَفْتُمْ فِي الْأَيَّامِ الْخَالِيَ. Eat and drink pleasantly for what you did beforehand in the days gone by. So as we can see, I'll go into a bit more detail, but as we see in this passage of verses from 18 to 24, Allah is telling us that on that day, nothing would be hidden, right? All of the things that we had done would be known. And obviously it's already known by Allah. In most cases, the angels are also told of our deeds because we have the two angels which record our actions. But on that day, everything will be known, right? So even in the public sphere today, you know, people who sin in private, their actions are not known. The angels still know it. Allah still knows it. But on the day of judgment, those actions will be made apparent for everybody to see. That is obviously if we haven't asked forgiveness, we haven't done tawbah istighfar for those sins. Because once you and I can do true istighfar, true repentance, then those sins are wiped off of our book. There won't be room for them to be accounted because they have been actually scratched off of our record. So that's important to keep in mind that when we do ask forgiveness and that is a true sincere forgiveness which is accepted by Allah, as the hadith tell us, that the person who has sinned and asks for forgiveness and that forgiveness is accepted by Allah, it is as if they have never sinned. It is as if that sin never occurred in their life. And then Allah gives us this this theme, this motif, which we see also in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, about people being given their book in their hand. In this portion, it's the right hand. In the next portion, we'll see the left hand. And again, there is a rationale, there is a philosophy, a wisdom behind why Allah uses these kinds of words of people being given the book in the right, given the book in the left. And even when we make the dua, when we make wudu for the prayers, or we make wudu to read Quran, you know, and if we recite the du'as that are recommended to be recited at the time of wudu, you'll see when you recite the du'a to wipe and wash the right hand and the right arm, there is a line, or the du'a says that, O Allah, give me my book of deeds in my right hand and make my accountability, as it says, hisaban yasira, make it an easy accountability. So there is this understanding in the Quran and in the literature of the du'as and in the hadith about the right hand being a blessed hand, that we want our book of deeds in our right hand. And obviously that doesn't mean that people who are left-handed are in any way wicked or evil. That may be more of a cultural nuance. Obviously if you're born left-handed, you're born left-handed. But there is this understanding, and again we can refer to other verses referring to the commentary, let's say, of Surah Al-Waqi'ah, which will give us a better understanding of why Allah may have chosen to use the right hand and the left hand as indicators for heaven and for hell. Anyways, the person who is given their book in the right, they will say to themselves that, wow, I'm going to read my book now. So they're happy about it because they know that they're in a good state on that day. And they say that they knew that they were going to meet Allah. They knew they were going to have their accountability. And so they'll read their book, they'll get the rewards, and as the verse says, that they will make their way into paradise. Now, as we said, that is the day when we will be exposed, when everything that we had done, which we had not asked forgiveness for in terms of the sins, would be made apparent for everybody to see. And that in itself should be a wake-up call for us, that if we sin, that we do our best, A, first not to sin, if it's intentional, and B, that if we do let our temptations get the best of us, that we do our best to ask istighfar, ask forgiveness for Allah in this world, because we don't want people to know our sins. You know, unfortunately, we live in a world today where on social media, people not only sin, but they promote the sin. And I'm sure we're all aware of this. You know, women, for example, that let's say will post pictures on Facebook or Instagram of either them in, you know, completely having removed their hijab, and maybe they wear hijab normally, but they're on vacation, so they post their photos, and you know, they promote the sins that they perform, and they are proud about it, and they show it off in public, or even men for that matter, not only the women, but there are many times men who will commit sins, who will attend gatherings and parties and functions where they should not be, but they'll take pictures and videos and post that on social media. We have to realize that, obviously, A, that is a sin in and of itself. To sin is a sin, and to promote your sin is a double type of a sin. And we might try to hide it in this world. You know, we may only allow certain people on our profiles on social media to see our photos or videos that we share, thinking, oh, that's only them who have access to that content. But this verse shows us on the Day of Judgment, everything that we had done, even those things we kept hidden on private social media accounts, that will be also apparent for everybody to know about what we did in the life of this world. And so just to go over a summary list of the people who are the people of righteousness and the Day of Judgment and what they will experience. Again, as we said, those who are given the book in the right hand, they will be pleased to read their book of actions. They have no problem reading their book because they know it's a clean book. There's nothing bad in it. Number two, that they always kept in mind in this life the day that they would meet Allah. And so they watch their actions, they watch their speech, they watch what they did in public and in private because they knew they would meet Allah one day. Point three is that they will live a life of pleasure in the hereafter. And that's obviously what all of us dream about. All of us want to experience is that life of pleasure, of ease, of comfort in the world to come. They will have, as the Quran says, lofty gardens, these beautiful gardens of paradise with rivers of milk and honey, of wine which does not intoxicate, of mansions, of fruit at hand, of servants, of whatever they want will be given to them. They would have fruits and whatever they want, right? There's no issue in Jannah of out of season. You know, we have that issue today that a fruit grows in a particular season, and after that, you don't get it till another 3, 6, 9 months. You have to wait. But in Jannah, whatever you want will be there at the snap of a finger, or even at the thought in your head, and that fruit will be presented, or that whatever you want will be given to you. And then they will be addressed by God, right? It's one thing to have food and have fun, and have all of the pleasures of Jannah. But even greater than all of that, I would say, is the very last thing that Allah says, where Allah will speak to us. And Allah will say, eat and drink pleasantly as a reward for your good actions while in the previous world. Subhanallah, what more could we ask for? Right? Yeah, all the other benefits of Jannah are great to have, but to be confirmed by God, to be spoken by God on the Day of Judgment, to be spoken to by God while we are in paradise, where God tells us, take it easy, relax, whatever you want is there. Because you were good in that previous world, you did your obligations, you kept away from the forbidden. That's a beautiful thing for God to give us, is for Him to, in a way, converse with us, to give us that welcoming into His paradise. Now, obviously, we have to talk about the other aspect as well, the people of the left hand. And that is what we see in verses number 25 to 29. And that's obviously something that we pray to Allah, that we are not of the people of the left hand, that we're not of those people who are given their book in the left. We pray that we're not of those who end up going towards the fires of hell. Because Allah says, وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابُهُ بِشِمَالِهِ فَيَكُولُ يَا لَيْتْنِي لَمْ أُوتَ كِتَابِيَا. Because as for him who is given his book in his left hand, he will say, I wish I had not been given my book. Right away they know. When that book is thrown in your left hand, you know right away that you're not in a good situation. So that person will say, I wish I had not been given my book. وَلَمْ أَدْرِ مَا حِسَابِيَا. Nor had I known what my account with Allah was going to be all about. They know what's going to happen, but they're stressed out. Right? It's like when you get pulled over for speeding on the highway, and the police comes to your window and asks for your license and your registration and your insurance. Right away, you know, before he gives you that citation, that ticket, you know what your situation is. And you realize, I shouldn't have been speeding, or I shouldn't have been, you know, talking on the phone while I was driving and distracted driving. You know right away, even before the ticket is placed in your hand, you know that you are going to be penalized. The same will happen in the Day of Judgment. You'll just get the book. You won't even have to open it up and read it. You'll realize right away, the book in my left hand, I'm not in a good situation. Ya laytaha kanat al-qadhiya. I wish death had been the end of it all. These people will say, I wish I had just died and there was nothing after that, because I'm not going to be able to survive these challenges on the day of resurrection. Ma aghna anni maliya. My wealth has not availed me. I was a millionaire back in the world, a billionaire. I had mansions around the world. I had nice cars in my driveway. I had nice Rolex watch and Gucci handbags and designer shoes. All of that, we will say, my wealth will not help me on this day. Halaka anni sultaniya. And even the power I had, it's gone. Right, I was a prime minister of a country. I was a president of a country. I was a king. I was a prince. I was a leader of my local community organization, of my jamaat, of my organization. I had authority. But that was in the world. You have no authority on the Day of Judgment. On that day, the authority is only with Allah. So the Day of Judgment and the iniquitous, what would they go through? Those who are given their book in the left hand, number one, they will wish that they were not given their record of deeds, and they'll hate to review it. They don't even want to see that book. They don't even want to know what's inside that book. Number two, they will not want to go over their negative actions while in the world, because they're going to have to read it. And maybe there'll be a visual. Maybe there'll be a 3D hologram. I don't know. We don't know. Whatever the case may be, we won't want to see what's in that book on that day. Point number three, that they would wish that death was the end of everything. They'll say, I wish death was the end of it all. That there was no accountability, no day of judgment, no responsibility. I wish death had just ended everything. As many people today say, they say we are born, we come into the earth, we live, we have fun, we die, and nothing will happen after this life. There is no day of judgment. What are you talking about? That's foolish. But this will be one of their wishes on that day, that I wish that was, you know, that death was it, because now I got to pay a big price. Point four is that they will testify and confirm that the wealth they had in this world cannot benefit them. If we have wealth in our pockets, in our banks today, it helps you lead a comfortable life today. And if you use your wealth in the right way, then you can also take that wealth with you into the world to come. You can have the paradise with mansions and all that you maybe had in this world. But it calls for you and I to use our wealth to help the needy. Right? We're living at a time in this COVID-19 pandemic where many of our community members locally, in our own community, in our own city, in our own province, in our own country, don't have a job. The money that they may get from the government won't sustain them and their families in the month of Ramadan. Will they be able to pay rent and utilities and put food on the table? So if we have wealth, we should ensure that we are giving it back to our community. You know, just as a side note, that I'm sure many of us in the past have hosted iftars at our homes with family, with friends, or we've sponsored an iftar in our local center and we've spent thousands to feed our community members. This year that won't happen, unfortunately. As a humble suggestion, we should look at how much we've spent in the past years on iftars for family, for friends, for community members, and take that same amount and give it to our local jamaat, our local community, our local organizations. Allow them to provide the needy in our communities with the food that they need, with whatever they need in this month of Ramadan. And obviously whatever is left over can be sent overseas to other needy believers in other parts of the world. But if we have wealth, as the verse says, that the disbelievers will complain that their wealth will not benefit them. But we today can use our wealth to benefit us in the world to come. And then we will make a complaint. We, meaning those who are going to hell. And inshallah, that's none of us who are engaged in this review of Surah Al-Haqqa. But they will realize the power and authority which they held while alive. It won't benefit them in the world. In the world to come, that is, rather. Right? Whatever you and I have is in terms of power that we wield, maybe we're a manager, a director, a CEO at work, or we're the head of our household, or we're the head of a jamaat, or an organization, or a community center, that power is temporary. When you die, when we die, we lose the titles, we lose the power, we lose the authority. And on the Day of Judgment, that day is when the power and authority will only lay with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even the power that we think we have will be of no benefit. And for those who chase power, and chase, you know, to be elected into positions, thinking that they're, you know, that they're some status that they have. Yes, it's good to have that power in this world. As long as Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, would say about the khilafah that people wanted him to take. He says that your khilafah that you want to give to me, it means nothing to me. As he would tell Ibn Abbas, that this khilafah, its worth is less than this pair of shoes that I have to stitch up, the sandals. Unless I can establish the rights of the oppressed and ensure that there is balance and fairness in society. And that should be our goal when we run for any office, is that can I bring about justice and equality in my home, in my community, in my society? And if so, then I go towards that power. And if not, I keep away from it because that power may corrupt me and that may lead to my destruction on the Day of Judgment and my level of accounts with Allah. Verses 30 to 37 is where Allah mentions, خُذُوهُ فَغُلُّوهُ. Lay a hold on him, then put a chain on him. ثُمَّ الْجَهِيمَ صَلُّوهُ. Then cast this person into the burning fire. ثُمَّ فِي سِلْسِلَةٍ ذَرْءُهَا سَبْعُونَ ذِرَاعًا فَسْلُكُوهُ. Then thrust him into the chain, the length of which is 70 cubits. إِنَّهُ كَانَ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ. Surely he did not believe in Allah the Great. وَلَا يُحُذُّ عَلَىٰ تَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. Nor did he urge the feeding of the poor. فَلَيْسَ لَهُ الْيَوْمَ هَاهُنَا حَمِيمٌ. Therefore today he will not have a true friend here. وَلَا تَعَامٌ إِلَّا مِنْ غِسْلِينَ. Nor shall he have any food except garbage to eat. لَا يَأْكُلُهُ إِلَّا الْخَاتِئُونَ. Which none but the wrongdoers shall eat. Now Allah again presents a very vivid description here of how these people will be led into the fire of hell. Chains around them, lengthy chains, thrown into the fire. Why? Why would Allah do all of this? Obviously there's a very large discussion, a lengthy discussion, but why would Allah punish His creations like this? A kind, merciful God, the one who is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, who is Arhamur Rahimeen, why would he do such a form of punishment to people? Does he enjoy seeing us being thrown into the fire of hell? Of course not. Allah is not a vengeful God. He's not a God of revenge, of that form. But we have to realize that the punishment has to be there for crimes. You can't be a murderer, a tyrant, a dictator, a killer, and get off scot-free in the world to come. There has to be a day when you are fully accountable for the actions that you and I have done. Let me conclude with this last point, and we'll end for today's third session of Surah Al-Haqqa, chapter 69, is when the disbelievers who have been given the book in the left hand are told, welcome home, welcome to hell. This is where you're going to be now for a long time. How will the people enter their new home? A chain will be thrown around their necks. They will be dragged into the fire. That's point number one. Why will the people enter into the fire? One, they did not believe in God. And obviously there's more than that, but this is what the Quran is showing in this chapter. And number two, they did not urge others to feed the poor. Keep in mind the word, they did not urge other people to feed. Not that they didn't feed, they tried to dissuade others from helping the needy. And what will their experience be? One, they won't have any friends in that new home, no true friends. And number two, they'll have nothing to eat. There will be no pomegranates, no grapes, no dates, no milk, no honey. None of those things in Jannah, in paradise. They will have filth and garbage to consume on that day. Filth and garbage. We ask Allah in this blessed month of Ramadan, as we continue fasting and praying and engaging in worship and supplications and giving in charity and being good human beings, that Allah keep us away from those frightful scenes of the Day of Judgment. We ask Allah to be able to allow us to benefit from the month of Ramadan, to feed the needy, to take care of the orphans, the sick, the destitute, those who are in need of our help. And we ask Allah, as we conclude, to hasten in the return of our 12th Imam, Imam Al-Hujjah, and that we can be worthy of being amongst the helpers and his assistants when he launches his movement to establish justice and the government of God upon this earth, along with his assistant, Prophet Jesus, Prophet Isa, alayhim wassalatu wassalam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And we'll continue in our fourth session, where we'll review verses 38 through to 47.